I hear the eagle scream. I spread my wings and fly to where Jehovah Eagle is calling in the sky. Here comes the Snow White Dove. He leads me as I fly. I stay in line. The token's mine. Is coming for his bride. Heavenly Father, thank you for grace today, Lord. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for goodness. Thank you for love. Thank you for peace, O Lord. Thank you for all that you are to us, Father, in Christ Jesus. For all things, O Lord, thou hast granted to him, they are blessings to us, Father. It's our inheritance, because we inherit the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for this prayer. Once again together here, we ask for your presence to anoint us, Father, in the hearing of the word, and also the speaking of the word, Father. Oh, that we may continue, Lord, not just to understand, not just to have knowledge, Lord, but to have the understanding of the knowledge of the word of God. For many in this last day, O Father, may have knowledge, but they do not have the understanding of it. What it means, Father, for those things that are revealed to us. So, Lord, we approach right now that you give us some golden nuggets, Lord, and understanding of thy precious word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and we want to go straight to the visions of Daniel. And I know that we're covering a bit too far some of the things, but today we're going to look at the visions of Daniel. Go to the book of Daniel, chapter 7 right here. And first of all, here in chapter 7, we have the Daniel's visions of the four beasts. So let us look at this drawing here. Going one, and you can see this drawing, of course, is a common, well, people try to picture what those four beasts are, how they look like, and some of them have the picture and they draw very kind of funny, isn't it? And this is, well, a good example of a lion with the wings and the bag, you know, the three horns, three ribs, and you have, you know, the animal with four heads and four wings, and the last beast is normally known as nondescript beast. Alright, but let us look at the second drawing, which we all know so well, in comparison to the colossus that Nebuchadnezzar dreamt of. Now, I want you to remember this, that the dream of Daniel in this four beast, as I said this before, relates to the time of the Gentiles, and it is what God sees among the nation, and the colossus is what men see. Okay? It's an image of a man, and therefore it represents what man sees. And man's value is always a materialistic thing, as to gold, silver, bronze, metal, whatever it is. Okay? And the position that they are in. And of course, this is a dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Of course, he's always the head, I'm the head, and there's gold right there. And so the vision starts with his empire. And they are all together four empire from here onward, because the other three, as we all know, that we find in the four heads in the book of Revelation are not mentioned here. Okay? Because this is from the time of Nebuchadnezzar or the Babylonian Empire forward into the future. And what God sees is that the nations of the world are wild beasts. So for that, let us look into the book of Hosea. How do we know that the dreams or the vision that Daniel had is actually pertaining to the nations or the Gentile nation? So the book of Hosea chapter 13, which is the book after Daniel, next to Daniel or following Daniel, chapter 13, verse 7 and 8. Now if Bible will interpret its own, you can find a fact in the scripture. Now I told you last week that there are some denominations that interpret that these four beasts that Daniel had seen in his vision pertain to Israel at different times of their history, which of course is ridiculous. Alright? Because God never used any animal for Daniel. Animal or wild beast. So Hosea chapter 13 verse 7 said, therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard, by the way will I do, I observe them. Verse 8, I will meet them as a bear, that is derived of her webs, and I will rend the cow of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. So God used wild beasts. You understand that? To deal with Israel. And this beast that Hosea mentioned here, lion, leopard, bear. Isn't that what you see here? Exactly. Is that right? And wild beasts are unclean animals. So God used the unclean nations of the world, the Gentile nations, to deal with Israel. Do you understand? That's how God dealt with Israel. Now don't forget that we are God's people in the church today here. And how does God deal with us as a church? It's also what's out there, the system, the various kind of system to deal with us. You see? So has God dealt with Israel, this one animal? Let us look at these four beasts that in the visions of Daniel, and we're going to compare the other vision that he had. Now in chapter 7, when we read down, we can see here in verse 4, the first was like a lion and eagle swing. We know that. Then verse 5 says, a second beast like to a bear. And he raised up itself on one side, and he had three ribs in his mouth. Alright, so this is the Medo-Persian. You understand that? Now, the Bible said that this bear that came out, raised up one side higher than the other shoulder. What does it mean? It means that when Babylon was conquered, it wasn't conquered by the Persian, it was conquered by the Median. But the Medo-Persian were together joined ally with Persia. But Persian later on became the bigger power. So it raised up. And so Medo-Persian actually became known as the Persian Empire, actually by some historians. They just call it the Persian Empire. Do you understand that? It was under this Persian Empire that they received three of these ribs. And which we know, as I said, that look at the map of Alexander again to let you know that they are three, the Lydia, Egypt, and Babylonian. I already told you Lydia is here, Egypt, alright, and Babylonian, where there are still these pockets. You know, when the Persian conquer Babylonian, they are still Babylonian, the people there are still resisting. You understand that? Even as Alexander conquered all this area on, as you see on the map, okay, from all the way from Greece, eastward, all the way almost to India. They go through Persia and all this area here, and down to Egypt. Even though they conquer, you know, there always be pocket of resistance. Okay, you understand that, don't you? Huh? Even like today, we take, for example, like, even like China today, for example, now, we know that Hong Kong, Taipei was under China. Yet now, today, you know, Hong Kong is given back to China, yet they still want to be independent, autonomous, you know, and even the Taipei, they still want to fight against China. You know what I mean? There is always this resistance. You understand that? So what we have is that there are three ribs, but there are three areas, Lydia, Egypt, and Babylonia, they are still trying to resist this bear. But the bear came forward and bring them down and destroy them. And so we go to the next verse here in verse 6. Here we have another like a leopard which upon the back of four wings of a fowl and forehead and dominion was given to it. And now this leopard here of course was Alexander the Great. Alright, later on split up into, after his death, it became given to four of his general. Alright, now when we look at this is the first vision of Daniel here. About these nations or what was to come in the later days, so to speak. In verse 8, in verse 7, he saw the next beast. It is the fourth beast, as he said, is dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. Now here is a beast that he had never seen before. I mean, if you see an animal, you say, oh, that's a bear, that's a lion, that's a tiger, or whatever that is. But he sees this as dreadful and it's terrible and strong, and he doesn't know how to describe this beast. Okay, so you just non-describe the beast. You cannot describe it. And it says here he had, he stamped the residue with the feet of it. All the kingdom before him, he just bring all this nation down as he marched and conquered them. And he has 10 horns. And then he said, I consider the horn. Behold, it came out from a mountain. A little horn, another little horn. Now we know that horns grow on the head. But this 11th horn, I believe it, as I said, doesn't come out from the head. It came out from among the 10 horns. And which I will show you how it appeared. It says here that before whom there were 3 of the first horn plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes that are the eyes of men, and a mouth speaking great things. Now you just imagine in the vision, if you were to see a vision of this strange looking, horrible looking beast, strong and terrible looking, and he had 10 horns. And then suddenly there's a horn that came out, and then you look closer, it has eyes and mouth that can speak. I mean, you know, in dreams you can, you know, visions, all kinds of things can be, you understand what I mean? You people, young people can imagine, alright? Maybe the older folk can imagine. I don't know whether my mom can imagine or not, whether Sister Ellie can imagine, but young people can see Harry Potter and all this fantasy, you know, movie, a story, you know, anything can develop out of something, right? Okay, so it is how visions are to show to Daniel what was to come, what will be. Okay, this one, as a face of my man, and can speak. And he says, I be here now till the thrones were cast down and the ancients of death did sit. And here, from this verse onward and forward, he talks about the next kingdom that was to come, that is to come, and that is the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? Okay? Where in verse 10, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him and the judgment was set. Now in verse 15 onward, here was the interpretation given to him. In verse 17, let us look at the verse in the Bible. I want you to follow so that you understand. These great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Four kings represents four kingdoms. Yes? Yes or no? Alright? But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth that the four beasts which was diverse from all the other, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron. Now, you know that when you talk about iron teeth, you know what iron teeth represent, right? Iron is stronger than gold, stronger than silver, especially it's tougher, and it so means to say that iron teeth means that it goes out to devour, and to conquer, to fight a war. And that's what how it brought down the other beast. And his nail of brass, which devour brass, nail of brass. You know what brass is? Brass is a symbol of judgment. Okay, nail of brass. So he goes out there and he judges the people. He put his own law and changed this and changed that. You know what? How the Roman Empire came into being. And how it evolved into the Holy Roman Empire. Is that right? Okay? And which devour, break in pieces, stem the rest of it, and the 10 horns that were in his head. And all the other which came up, before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that speak very great thing, whose look was more stout than his fellow. I beheld the same horn make war with the saints and prevail against them, until the ancient of days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom, which we know that Christ is going to come. The kingdom of God is going to come after this beast appear. And which you already know it appeared in history and has evolved into other forms. Now, first of all, let us examine a bit carefully. Natural beasts. Talk about the natural kingdom of this world. Represent it. But the fourth beast is a beast that Daniel had never seen before. Now, there was some kind of evolution, so to speak. That is to say, all of this area of the world at that time that, you know, Daniel saw in this vision? All these nations deal with Israel. That God used to deal with Israel. But the four beasts, which is Rome, slowly began to evolve. You understand that? Huh? You have evolved into 10 horns, and later on, you know, you had some, has a horn that speaks great things. A beast that Daniel couldn't even describe. It's a form that he is definitely not the natural kind of systems of the world or political system. Political system is supposed to be a political system. But it changed into from politic to religion, to religious Rome. You see the point? And so yet it holds to politics. So this is a beast that actually evolved. And this is what Daniel saw. Until this, when this beast came into power, which we already seen it, what happened to pagan Rome through Roman Rome, to the Holy Roman Empire? Pagan Roman Empire to Holy Roman Empire. And we know that it was crushed, bruised, not really crushed, bruised by the Reformation of Martin Luther when he came forward against it. It was bruised. In the book of Revelation, it showed that it revived itself again because it was only bruised. It never did die. And so right now in this last day, we see that even within this region, where the 10 toes are, in the second drawing and the drawing of the Colossus, all right? When we look at the Colossus, we see that there are these two legs, okay? East and Western divisions of the Roman Empire at that time, okay? And it speaks, we have the Orthodox, and the Greek Orthodox, and the Western Roman side of Europe. So now, what we have is that today we see these 10 toes of iron and clay. We have the 10 toes of iron and clay, which of course now, we say, okay, they are the European Union that we see now. Alright? But the European Union, when it first started, there were just people joining as members, 6 nations, 8 nations, 10 nations, then 12 nations, 16 nations. Now, there are more than that. There are many nations around Europe wanted to join. But the problem is that we know that even today, while they are trying to solve the problem, the Bible tells us that it is iron and clay. Iron and clay do not mix. Some are strong, that is the iron. Some nations are weak, that is the clay. Economically, we have seen what happened. Was it Greece, right? The economy collapsed. And England is also not happy, it's pulling out. So there is a lot of problem. But finally, when all these things boils down to, it will still boil down to 10 nations that will be strong and hold the power. So we are seeing in this part here. So here we have this, what you call this, nondescript beast of Daniel chapter 7. We have the 10 horns. But this part of the 10 horns will actually fulfill in history as well as is going into the future. Because this is a dream or vision of Daniel that is partly fulfilled and partly also future. Now let us continue with this in chapter 7. Verse 24. Verse 23. Thus he said, the four beasts shall be the four kingdoms upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall break it down, and shall tread it down, and break it into pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings which shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words toward the Most High, and shall wear down the sin of the Most High, and think to change times and law, and he shall be given unto his hand until times and the dividing of times. Now here is what we have. That this is projected into the future. But yet this already happened. Prophecy fulfillment. One beast appeared, Babylon. The second beast came after it, conquered Babylon. And after Middle Persia, being the second beast, after he came into power, the third beast, which is the Greek Empire, Alexander the Great, came and took this Middle Persian Empire. One followed after another. So it's the same thing. After the Greek Empire came into power, later on the Roman Empire came and took over this whole empire. One vision followed, one of these animals, they were followed the other and conquering the whole of Europe and the Middle East. Okay? Now, since we already are in now, first of all, the first beast is history. Second beast, history. Third beast is history. The fourth beast is what we have, transition. Okay? Part of the four prophecy about this beast already were fulfilled. But yet, part of this is still yet into the future. Now, when we look at this here, it says, in verse 26, but the judgment shall see, which is say Christ will come, God will come, set up his kingdom, and there shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High God. So who are we are going to rule? Hey, don't forget, you are going to rule. If you are going to rule, you act like a ruler. Now, what happened is that in the Philippines today, there is in Davao. If you're not, you don't know it, in Davao. You know what Davao is? In the southern island of the Philippines, the big island called Mindanao. Alright, in the southern part, go to look into your map, whatever, Davao. Right down there is a big ministry by a man called, his name is the Pastor Apollo Diaboloy. Diaboloy, yeah. He's not well known among the Philippines. Now it's said that one of the brother that we know has fallen into that trap. Now he proclaimed that he is the appointed Son of God. He gave his testimony how God dealt with him, and then he passed the test, and God said, you are now the Son of God, the appointed Son of God. And April the 15, 2005, began. The day of the Lord came on the day of April 15, 2005. And the kingdom of God is now on earth. You understand? And anyone who wants to be a son of God must come into this kingdom. And right down in the vow, there is a mountain, and there he said, this is where you find safety. The holy mountain of God. And right down in the vow where it is, there is the Garden of Eden restored. It's beautiful. They said it's beautiful. So believe all these things. He will preach himself. So now, we are the one who are the Son of God. Now, the kingdom comes. You know, we know the kingdom of God is here on earth, right? Isn't that so? Yes or no? Jesus already told you the kingdom of God is within you. Why? Because the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit that brings the people of God together, and the Holy Spirit of Christ is the Lord. Christ is the God. But that pastor over there in the bow said that he is given the kingship on this earth, in this kingdom. So he is the king. He is the one who is ruling. So you know, we are not a member of that kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, that means the serpent nature still remains in us. So we must be part of it. You know, so well, he has gone around the world, you know, preaching that doctrine and deceiving many people. But we know that the judgment of this, the kingdom of heaven will be given to the sin of the Most High God when the kingdom comes upon this earth in reality when Christ comes back. And it's, now, here in this vision here, when we look at it, I want to show you this. It says here where there were 10 horns, and the 11th one came out and seized 3. Now, this is what we have. Now, this is an extract from my article in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Alright? He was the Bishop of Rome who claimed the title Bishop of Bishops some 60 years after the death of Constantine the Great in 337 AD. The nature of this little horn was not political but religious, and it was not considered as 11 horn. In 476 AD, when the Roman Empire fell completely to the barbaric tribes who invaded and dismembered it into 10 provinces or horns, Anglo-Saxons, Alemanni, Heruli, the Vandals, the Ostrogoths, the Visigoths, the Suevas, the Suevian or Suevi, Lombards, Burgundians, the Franks. The little Hun came up, and by 538 AD, uprooted three Huns, the Vanguard, the Vandals, the Ostrogoths, the Heruli, and completely destroyed them. So out of the 10, three of them were destroyed. Later, between 600 to 754 AD, when there again were 10 kingdoms, the same little Hun uprooted three of the 10 Huns. This time it was Rome, Lombards, and Ravana. The powers of these three kingdoms were ceded to the then ruling Pope at the beginning of their temporal kingdoms. Incidentally, in the 12th century, there were also three kings, Henry IV, Frederick, and Philip Augusto, or Philip II, who in confrontation with the Pope in their days were brought into submission by the latter. How strange maybe that this thing occurs so often, that the bishop or bishop, or that is, you know, the Bishop of Rome, control. Now, the 10 Hun here, this is what we see here. There are tribes. This 8, 9, and 10 here, what we have, the Heruli, the Vandals, and the Ostrogoths, they became extinct. Alright? And of course, in the location of Italy, Africa, and Italy also. But who, the 11 that appear, where does it appear from? It must appear from out of these 10 tribes or 10 locations. Where did it appear from? It appeared from Italy. That's where Rome is. You see? So it was this Pope. You know, this supposed to be, this 10 Hun are supposed to be political. Do you understand? Federation of Malaysia. How many states are there? If I'm not mistaken, 16 states or 12 states? 13 states. I don't know. I can't remember now anyway. So anyway, you have that states. You understand? It's sort of the same thing with this fourth beast. 10 province, or 10 tribal areas, so to speak. They're all supposed to be governed by a head. And they're all political. But here, out of somewhere, somebody came out from that very region. You understand that? And seized the power and became a Hun. And brought down the other three. And that was none other than the Bishop of Bishops, the Bishop of Rome. Alright, so now let us go to Daniel chapter 8. Here is Daniel's vision of the ram and goat. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, remember as I said this, the book of Daniel is not chronological. Is that right? It's not chronological. So it just that Daniel just, you know, record what he dreamt during the reign of Belshazzar. Do you understand? Even though he was now in the period of the Middle Persian. Okay? A vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel. After that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in the vision, it came to pass when I saw, that I was at Shushan in the palace which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision I was by the river of Ulai. Then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns, and the two horns were high, and one was higher than the other. Now, does it give you a picture of what was the similarity? This was a ram. It was a vision that's similar to which one? To the bear. Remember? Huh? But the ram, the horn was high. Means that it was powerful. Okay? But one of the horn was higher than the other. So just like the bear that came out, one of the shoulder was higher than the other. It speaks therefore of the same empire that is Medo Persia. Okay? And the higher one came up last. That's what it was. Middle Persia was the one that fought. Okay? And conquered Babylon. Together, the lion together with Persia. Persia was the one that became a strong empire and became known as the Persian Empire. Or sometimes people just call it Middle Persia. But the second one that came out, the horn that came up last was the stronger one.
You all got it? All right. And it says, I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward. Okay, let us see where they push. Look at the map of Alexander, that map again. It said it pushed Middle Persia. Persia is here. You all know where Persia is, right? It pushed northward, westward, and southward. Now, Persian never, empire never go this way, never go eastward. They never actually move eastward. Do you understand that? It pushed northward, westward, and southward. Okay? And so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came up from the west. Now, where is west? Okay. A he-goat came up from the west. It says, on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground. It was moving very fast. And just a leopard, remember? Remember the third vision? The third beast that Daniel saw in chapter 7? The leopard with the four heads and the wings? Okay. And this one now is Alexander the Great, or Greece and Empire, is depicted now by the he-goat. It touched on the ground, and the he-goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I have seen standing before the river, and ran into him, unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with chola against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and he was strong. And the great horn was broken, for he came up four notable ones towards the four winds of the heaven. So now what we have is that this horn came from the west, that is from Greece, pushes eastward, fought and, thrust against the ram, thrust against the Middle Persian, broke off their horns, broke off their power, and conquered. Alright? And now he says that, in verse 8, he waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. When he was strong, the horn was broken. That horn was Alexander the Great. How old did he die, do you know? He died at the age of 33, the same age that Jesus Christ died. Now he was a good general, good man. In the year 33 BC, Alexander the Great came. Now he was a very young general. He was so powerful, was so great in his exploit, that he pushes all the way eastward and conquer the Indo Persia. At his death, the Bible tells us it broke into four pieces. Did he say here? And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and it came up four notable ones towards the four winds of heaven. So the whole of the empire of Alexander was broken up. He don't have son. He don't have son. He don't have grandson. Anybody? He doesn't have anybody to give to. That is his heir. So was given to his four general. Now who are his four general? These are the four general that the whole of the kingdom of the Grecian was given to them, divided up and given to them. Cassandra, okay, as I said before, controlled Macedonia and Greece, which is the place where Alexander came from. They were Grecian. So Cassandra took control of that. Lysimachus, Asia Minor, and Thrace, which is Turkey. Ptolemy, the first, Egypt, and Palestinian, but they call it Egypt. And Seleucus, the first, Mesopotamia, and Syria. Alright? Do you get it? So these are the four horns that Bible talks about, after the death of Alexander. Now, Alexander was a very good man. The fact is that, you know, when he came and conquered the whole of the Middle Persian Empire, he went out to Palestine, went out to Judea. And there, when he went there, he wanted to see how things were going. Now, this is what was described of him. The Cutians, or the Samaritans, were a group of people living in Israel who hated the Jew. Now, we know that there is always the enmity between the Samaritans and the Jew. They have nothing to do with each other. You remember the woman at the well talked to Jesus Christ? You know, you are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we have nothing in common, and so on and so forth. Alright? They convinced Alexander to destroy the temple because the Jew refused to accept his rule by putting his image in the temple. The high priest, Simon the Righteous, dressed in his priestly garments and went out to meet Alexander. When Alexander saw the high priest, he came out of his carriage and bowed down to him. His stunned companion said, "Shall the king of your stature bow to this Jew?" Alexander explained that Simon's image appeared to him before all his battles and led him to victory. Now, remember, these are the record. This record came from the source of Talmud. Okay? Alright? Shimon said, "Is it possible that other letters should mislead you?" He was talking to Alexander, "to destroy the house," that is the temple, "in which we pray for you and your empire?" Then he explained that the Torah forbids them to display graven images. But as a sign of respect, the priest said that all boys born to priests that year would be named Alexander. Other reports say that he also showed Alexander the prophecy, and the Jews were expecting him to defeat the Persian. Now, this is where the prophecy was. Alright? This was the record. How that, you know, Alexander went down to Jerusalem, and Samaritan wanted him to destroy the temple because he complained to Alexander that the Jew did not respect you by putting your image in the temple. You know? And Simon, of course, said that, you know, you are not allowed to put images. And Alexander actually said he had dreams of this man, the high priest. Now, strange enough, these are the Talmud, these are oral interpretation passed down to the Jew. Okay? We see in the Bible that it was there. And this was record what they have. Okay, let us go right now to this record so that you have an idea of the history back then. Alright? Verse 9. "And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and the star to the ground and stamped on them." Remember that there were all these four horns after the horns that appear on the goat. Alright? And the height of his power, the horn was broken and was given to, you know, to four other horns that came out of it. Now, here we have Antiochus Epiphanius. Alright? Epiphanius the fourth. Now, remember these are the four regions, Syria. Antiochus Epiphanius came from Syria. Now, he was not actually, the people don't want him to be king, to be, you know, the king. And he was the eighth one who actually became the king. By what? By flattery. He worked his way in and put himself on that throne. So when the Bible talked about this horn in verse 9, out of one of them came forth the little horn, that is Antiochus Epiphanius, that came out of this horn of Syria. You got it? And it waxed exceedingly great toward the south. Okay? And it says also toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it works great even to the hosts of heaven. He cast down some of the hosts and the stars to the ground. And step up one. Who is referring to? The people of God. Do you understand that? It refers to the people of God. Yet he magnified himself again even to the prince of the host. Who are the prince of the host? And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away and place of his sanctuary were cast down. Here you see the prince of the host. Now, we know the prince of the host, we refer to Christ Jesus. But here on earth, you know the high priest? Remember the high priest? The high priest was the type of Christ. Do you all remember that? Yes? And so the high priest was also the type of the prince of the covenant. So this is what we see. Okay? And yet, he also showed that in the future, something is going to happen likewise in the same manner. Alright. It goes on to say, a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and he cast down the truth to the ground, and he practiced and prospered. Then I heard this one saint speaking, another saint said unto that certain saint respect, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto him, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, alright, let us look at this little, they call him madman, Antiochus. Let us look at the, the same text just now, Daniel's text. The Daniel's text is what I'm going to look at. Okay? Now, let us go down. Look at here. Here we have the four generals. Okay? Now, Antiochus the fourth, 375 to 164 BC, was the eighth ruler of the Seleucid Empire. He gave himself the surname Theos Epiphanes, which means the visible God. That he and Jupiter were identical. Now you see how this man has lit himself up. He was portrayed as Zeus and thrown with the inscription, King Antiochus, God manifest, bearing victory. He acted as though he really were Jupiter, and the people call him Epinanius, meaning the madman. That's pretty, what, you know, to rhyme with that, Epiphanes, alright? He was violently bitter against the Jews and was determined to exterminate them and their religion. He devastated Jerusalem in 168 BC. Defiled the temple, offered a pig on his altar. He erected an altar to Jupiter, prohibited temple worship, forbade circumcision on pain of death, sold thousands of Jewish families into slavery, destroyed all copies of scripture that could be found, and slaughtered everyone discovered in possession of such copy, and resorted to every conceivable torture to force Jews to renounce their religion. This led to the Maccabean Revolt, one of the most heroic feats in history. Interesting, eh? I wonder how many people did he kill? 100,000 Jews. That's a lot of Jews he killed. Okay? So, from what we see here, in the verse 14, he bring in the statue of Zeus. But the statue of Zeus had a face that looked like him. Put it in the temple. Brought in a pig. You know, that's supposed to be unclean. And then was slaughtered in the holy altar. Now the question is, in the vision, one thing was asking another, and Daniel heard it. So unto how many days? 2,300 days, which is equivalent to be 6 1/3 years. And when did it start? It started in the year 168 BC until 161 BC. You understand? You get it? That's what happened. 168 to 161. That's the year that the temple was desecrated. But how was it cleansed? Okay, let us continue reading so we have an understanding later on. And it came to pass when I, even Daniel, had seen the vision, saw for the meaning. Then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid and fell down upon my face. And he said unto me, understand, O son of man. For at the time of the end shall the vision be the vision. At the time of the end of this four empire. Okay, that's when before Christ will come. But yet, this portion of vision still show into the future something of this vile man. Okay? Remember this man who appeared in the ten horn? One of the horn that came out of the ten that has a face and eyes of a man and speak great thing. You understand? And about this little horn that came out of the fourth, it's all the same character. It's actually the same guy. You see, that describes about anybody that is anti-God. Whether it be the Pope, whether it be Antichrist of Epiphania, you understand? Anybody that comes up, all this part of this vision will be a type and shadow of what is to happen in the future ahead of us. Alright, and he says here, now as he was speaking with me, I was in deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. Now either Daniel was already awed by the vision, you know, or that he was awed by this presence of Gabriel. You know, when you see a vision, it's a different thing. Eh? When some mighty angel came and talked to you or whatever in the room with that light and the presence of God, I can tell you, you will shiver. You know, your spirit will just, what we will say, lumpy. You know, it just melt down. Okay? You will grow weak. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed, the end shall be the ram which you saw having two horns of the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Greece here, and the great horn that is between his eyes, the first king. And of course, he is Alexander the Great. You got it? And that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of the kingdom, when the transgression had come to the full, a king of fierce countenance, understanding dark sentences, shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper, and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. Remember Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 4. The one who sits in his throne, in the throne and call himself God, in the seat of God and call himself God and speak great words. It's the same description like this here. Okay? And by peace shall destroy many. He will come in peacefully, you know? That's false peace, as you all know. We have read other place again in another chapter of Daniel, we see this is the same description of the same man. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. You know who the prince of princes is, right? That's the Lord of Lords. But he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning which are told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king business, and I was astonished at the vision, and none understood it. He saw what, when he was told about this vision, interpretation was given to him, it was lumbe. Even he told it to others, people wouldn't understand. He knew what's ahead for the children of Israel. He knew what was coming for them. But now, let us jump over to chapter 10. We're not going to chapter 9, because that's the 70 we have Daniel, which we'll deal with next week or so. But let us go to chapter 10. Here in chapter 10 was Daniel's vision by the great river. Now, there's not much of this here that described, but except to the descriptions of who appeared before him. Alright. But let us read it quickly. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, now it jumped into Cyrus, his present time, we will say, when the Middle Persia was there. A thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. And in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came fresh, nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were full. He fasted for 2 weeks. And the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the Red River, which is Habakkuk, then I lift up my eyes and look, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loin was girded with the gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes the lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and his voice of his word was the voice of a multitude. Who was that? None other than the description of our Lord. Okay? And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. Sounds very familiar, like Paul, remember? Like John on the, when he was baptizing Jesus. He alone saw the vision. Those around him did not see it. But a great quaking fell upon them. The others, they feel the quake, though they don't see the vision, and saw that they fled to hide themselves. Wherefore, I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. And I believe this is so very true. If you ever get a vision, always think about this. How the Bible even described when the angel came in. You know, when you ever see a vision of Christ or the mighty angel came in, you feel so corrupt. That you are not worthy to be there with this visitor. I can tell you that. Everything will just flow from you. You feel like you're going to die. Because you're in the presence of somebody from heaven. Some heavenly being. And that's how Daniel felt. Oh, he felt, alright? Yet I heard the voice of his words. He felt and he got no strength. You know, like that. Yet he could hear the voice of this presence. And when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Behold, a hand touched me, beside me up upon my knees, and upon the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright. For unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. While Daniel was already feeling weak and all this, after hearing the voice of that presence, then another hand came and touched him. Stand up, Daniel. So this was another, that must be the angel, I guess might be angel Gabriel, because later on Michael was mentioned here, or another angel. Anyway, there are many angels, we only know 2 in the Bible, Gabriel and Michael. Alright, in the Hebrew understanding, there are other angels by the name, one called Simeon, and many other by other names, I can't remember now. Alright, then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day you did set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy Lord. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, alright? And lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, this prince of the kingdom of Persia is not a literal prince, a fresh and blood prince. This prince of Persia is a spirit. Remember, there is war in heaven. Now, are you familiar with that? You don't remember what the Bible said, that there is war in heaven? Yes or no? Yeah. So, war in heaven between the princes, the prince of God, the heavenly prince of God, and the earthly prince of Lucifer, or Satan. Do you understand that? Principality, you understand? All those fallen angels, each of them, they are prince of their own location. That's what I'm talking about. That's why in the kingdom of the fallen angel, they all have their own hierarchy system. You get the point? Who is the boss? Satan. Alright? And there might be others who are the archangels, I do not know, under him. They fell, and then other further down, and then further down, and so on. Do you understand that? Remember, Lucifer himself was a prince. And here he says, if you don't know it. Look at verse 13. And don't say I'm lying to you when I interpret this. Look very carefully at what the Bible says. Verse 13 says this, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me and for 21 days. And lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me. Michael was called a prince. He was the archangel Michael. He was called a prince. Because he was in charge of all the other angels, lower than him. Do you get the point here now? So when you talk about the prince of the kingdom of Persia, it's not about the literal prince of Persia. It's the spirit behind the prince. Remember when we read in the book of Isaiah about the prince of Tyrus. Thou hast been in Eden. Who was he talking about? Lucifer. Remember? He was the spirit behind the prince of Tyrus. Now, every prince, every president in the world, every prime minister, there is a spirit behind them working. Do you understand that? Okay, so in America we have, President Obama, but he's a prince of America. But there is a prince behind this prince of America. You understand, you all know what I'm talking about? Sure. And we have in the church, the Korean church, the Moonies, Reverend Sun Myeon Moon, right? He's a prince of the Moonies. But behind this prince is another prince. Do you get the point I'm saying now? Huh? That's why they, the Bible to talk about discerning spirit. What's behind that person who's speaking? You know? Remember Jesus told Peter, you know, in the last day when Jesus was about to be crucified, right? Oh, Peter said, no, you need to go to Jerusalem, blah, blah, blah. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, he wasn't calling Peter Satan. He was looking at the spirit that was behind Peter. Do you see the point? Okay? So this prince of the kingdom of Persia, this angel, dark angel, was actually preventing this angel for coming to Daniel for 21 days. And Daniel was fasting for all that time. You know, and Michael came to help. So, you know, there was war in heaven. I don't know, I once watched a movie, you know, regarding this war in heaven, and they were showing, you know, Lucifer and Michael, Gabriel, and some of the other angels. In fact, I think in the story was Michael fell, or Michael was rebelling, or Gabriel was rebelling, and so one of them come to try to help him and save him. So, all this, you know, imagination about what's in heaven. All the angels are fighting. Here we all know, we all, I don't know, what would you say? In this Christian walk with the Lord, we sang a song, it's not an easy road. Right? Correct or not? Sure. It's not an easy road. We take, as you sing the song, one step at a time. One day at a time. Right? Why? Because this road we are on, it's not an easy road. So there is a lot of battle. Or is it a lot of struggle? Is it a struggle for you to be a Christian? To fight this battle? Do I say a struggle is a struggle? No, no, it's not a struggle. It's a battle. You see? There is this principality of the power of the air on this heaven, in this heaven here, trying to put you down. And we have behind us the hosts of God's heavenly angel fighting against them to keep us. And you will not see it, but they are fighting. They are fighting for us. They are standing by us. Do you understand that? You see? And that's why we should remember this. When we are down in the valley, we know we are there for a purpose. We don't have to struggle. We know we can be at peace with the Lord. You see, and believe the Lord will see us through. The angel are helping us through, guiding us through also, with the Spirit of God strengthening us. So it's not a struggle, it's a battle. So let us continue fighting. Okay? Verse 40, now I come to make thee understand what shall before your people. See that this all the vision is about who? About your people, Daniel. all the visions, the 70th week of Daniel, are all about Israel. Nothing to do with the Gentile, but the Gentile are the nations only that come against Israel. And what God, how God is going to deal with Israel. You understand? You get it. And because we are Christian, we are just caught in the middle. So what? Because we identify with Israel. Do you understand? And if Satan hates Israel, he hates the Christian. That's why in the world today, we have the extremists, terrorists, people of fanatical, every religion has fanatics. Yeah, we've seen recently in this America, that pastor wanted to burn the Quran, and now he said that it is a show, just to give people the world, or to draw attention to the people of the world. But that's not the way to do it. There's no shouldn't be a tit for tat. You get it? Huh? And you want to get the butter for the fat you give. That's not a thing, tit for tat, butter for fat. Now, so this is not the way to do it. Okay, but we see this is the spirit behind. Alright? So when we look into this verse right here, when he has spoken, verse 15, such word unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men, touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth, and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yeah, be strong. And when he had spoken to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak for us, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto you? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecian shall come. And I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in this thing, but Michael, your prince. And there will I show thee the truth. Verse 2. Now, chapter 11 actually is continuation. Okay? If you notice that verse 1 of 11 says this, also I, in the first year of Darius, the Medes, even I, stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Who is verse 1 talking about? And who is verse 1? Now, if you don't read your Bible carefully, don't study your Bible carefully, you get some mixed up. Because actually whoever break the one who divided this Bible into chapter 11 here is a mess. Because who is speaking in verse 20? Who is speaking in verse 20? It's the angel. Got it? And the angel said, he's talking to Daniel. That's why in verse 11 he's also the same. I, the angel, the same angel. In the first year of Darius, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen who? Daniel. You got it. And now will I show you, Daniel, the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they are. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of the Grecian. So, there are only four more kings. Let us look into that chart again that we have early on. Here, this, as I said before. Now, if you were to go to my chart of eternity to eternity, where I put a note there regarding the Ptolemy's chronology. Ptolemy, or his name is Ptolemyus, he just actually fit in what we say in Malay, Gasabuta. You know, and there's a whole lot of mess up here. Okay? And the whole of the chronology of the Persian Empire was stretched to 150 years extra. 150 years was added into it for this king. Until that's the reason why you find that if you were to look into one study as to the year that Cyrus made the decree, some will say 500 something. You'll be surprised, yes. But it was actually 454 BC. 500 plus. Why? Because of the mess of this, there was about 150 years added to the history. with all these thankings that Ptolemy put there. But the Bible tells us here was Darius, and then there will be four others after him. Is that what the Bible not say? Yes. And that's all. You see? Okay? Alright, let's go back to the Bible now. Let us quickly go to verse 6. Now, in this chapter 10 here, we are not going to detail about this, reading all the verses. But here is that Grecian Empire, you have these four horns, right? Four areas. They are actually always fighting among the others, among themselves. The problem is that the Syria, in the north of Israel, is called north, because Syria is in the north, right? And Egypt is in the south. So they always fight each other, coming down fighting each other. So that's why we have even verse 6, for example, like this. And in the end of the years, they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make agreement. And this is actually by marriage. Alright? The daughter's name is Bernice. Alright? Some people call it Bernice. Alright? So it's pronounced as Bernice. B-E-R-E-N-I-C-E. Bernice. Bernice. Or Bernice. But you know, Eunice is Eunice. Okay, that's what actually he is. Okay? Alright, so Bernice, or Bernice, or whatever, anyway. So, that's how they try to get the relationship. So there's a lot of fighting on and off. Now, because of the problem is that Assyria is in the north, Egypt in the south, in between them, what country is that? Israel. And Israel is standing in the way. Okay, that's the problem. So the king of the north, Syria, is always, remember, what horn is that? Antiochus, remember at that time. He's always coming down, want to fight against Egypt and so on. So that's a lot of problem. With Israel standing in between, and Israel's, you know, get the blunt of the whole of these battles between them. So let us quickly go now to verse 20. Now, here he's talking about this king from the north, which is Syria. Okay, verse 20 said, then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And that is the guy called Philopater. I don't think you need to know about who this guy is. Alright, but here in verse 21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. You see, he was one who is not to be king. But he make himself king, and that is Antiochus Epiphanius, the same guy. Now this is all different visions of Daniel, but he's talking about the same situation in the time of trouble for Israel. You understand that? They will lead up to the diverse nondescript beasts. Okay, to whom he shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and abstain the kingdom by flattery. That's why it is. That's what the Pope does, huh? You know, come in peaceful, by fraternity, by peaceful means. But actually, he wanted to take the kingdom for his nephew and so on. He said this and that. But sooner or later, he put himself on the throne. Okay? And with the arms of a flood, shall he be overflown from before him, and shall be broken. Yet also the prince of the covenant. Now, this prince of the covenant that is speaking of here in the relation is actually the high priest. Okay? Now, let us go right now quickly to the other few other verses, 31. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of the strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Remember the one we talked about early on? It's the same one described here in a different vision. Verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, and the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploit. Who are these? They fought against him. That is the Hasmonean, which later on we know in history, that's why we have what we call the Hanukkah festival of the Jew for 8 days. Alright? Verse 33. And then they understand among the people shall instruct many, and yet they shall fall by the sword. So there is a rebellion. There is a struggle for independence now. Okay? And by flame, by captivity, by spoil, many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holden with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flattery, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and make them white, even to the time of the end. Yeah, it is yet for a little time appointed. They're just ahead of Daniel. God says it's just for a little while. But the same thing in the future that happened, he's going to cut short. Do you get the point? Okay. Then verse 36. The king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself, magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Remind me of who? The same guy. He's the same Antiochus Epiphania. Remember, he put the statue of Zeus in the image of his face and demanded people to worship him. And who is this today that we have, who sits on the throne of God and calls himself God? Valkyrius Fidel. That's the Pope. Do you see that? Okay. In the future, that's why he would demand more. All this are type and shadow of what is going to happen. Okay. And it still affects Israel. Because when Antichrist comes, he'll go up after the woman. Again. Where are we? Okay. And shall prosper till the evening nation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the gods of his father, nor the desire woman, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the god of forces, a god whom his father knew not. And that's what he will do. He will use force to control. Let us go quickly right now to look at this text here for the struggle of independence. So I give you a little bit of history of what happened at that time. Alright. So what we have, as I said, Alexander the Great, king. He was a good general. Okay. He never harmed the Jew. He gave the Jew the freedom to worship because of his dream of this high priest Shimon. Okay. But he died at age 33. Now I don't know whether Alexander anyway could convert himself to the God of Israel. I have no idea. You know. But after that, when his kingdom broke up into four pieces, the very trouble starts. Alright. And out of those four horns, the horns out of Syria came forth Antiochus Epiphanius, who called himself the visible God. He harlanized the Jews, forbid observance of the Sabbath and circumcision. He desecrated the temple with a statue of Jupiter resembling him. Sacrificed the pig on the holy altar. Judaism declared illegal. How terrible. That's the spirit of Antichrist. The Bible of communism did the same. Okay. Many Jews died for their faith. The wealthy Jews got themselves proselytized to Greek custom, dress, Greek names, male Jews, even so on new foreskin. You see what I mean? Okay? These were the ones who pointed out the Hasidic Jews, the one who is really devout. The one today you see in Israel that wears this black cap and have this pigtail thing looking like that. Okay? You understand? These are the Orthodox type. Now here is a story here. Mattathias, Hasmonean. Now here, what happened was that when Antiochus came down to Israel, he wanted to subject the whole of these Israel people to himself and forbid them to have Judaism practice. So what did he do? When he came, there was this man called Mattathias, Hasmonean, or Hasmonael, depends how you spell. He's a Kohanim. That means he's a Levite. Kohanim, or what we call today, anybody with a name called Kohen, is a Levite. From the tribe of the Levite. Okay, he's a high priest. And he had five sons. Simon, right? Eliezer, Judah, Jonathan, and then Jonathan. So there are five. Now, he was ordered by Antiochus to sacrifice the pig. That's where when he brought the statue of Zeus, looked like him, and he brought the pig and asked the high priest Jonathan to sacrifice it. He refused. And a Hellenized Jew stepped forward for the job. Okay, now these are the, this Hellenized are usually those who are the rich. You know, the Bible, Jesus Christ said, broad is the way, you know, oh, now what is that? What the rich man, how to find, he said, the rich find how to get into the kingdom, right? Yeah, they like to change their faith. You see? And so these Hellenized Jews step forward for the job. But Matthias snatched the sword from the captain's hand and killed the traitor and the captain. His son that was standing by, you know, joined, fight with all those soldiers around. And then the rest of the Jews that were around all joined to fight. So that war began. So this is a Maccabean, what you call, the War of the Maccabees. Now very interesting, if you ever want to look into history, how the Jews fought and survived. Even the Masada incident. Many cases, all fought for independence in those times. Alright, so you have, the war began, the Jews took to the hills. The sons recruited men willing to fight from other villages, and they put bands of 100 with one captain. So you always have 100 with one leader. Now, Mattathias died within the year because of the strain of living in the mountain. Some people cannot live in the mountain. Okay, the strain. So he died. So his son Judah took the leadership. Now this man is quite something, you know. And he acquired the name Maccabi, known as the Hammer. That's why now it is called Maccabi, the War of the Maccabees. The struggle for independence. Victory after victory make the struggling Jews bolder, not even giving the Grecian Syrian army any chance to sleep by attacking them at night. So what they do, they go up in the way in the mountain, they, you know. So the Syrian come in at night. Oh, they're always waiting for them. They just shoot arrow in their hand and just, you know, bring them upon this army. The army, no matter what, they try to have this, what they call the total armor kind of a movement of, you know, with, over the shoulder, over the head. The arrow found a mark. And many of the soldiers died. So they attack the small group first, and then later on they attack the bigger group. And because of this, news spread, and more of the Jews came and joined, from different regions came and joined him to fight. Alright, and struggle for independence. Soon they also were fighting on the Sabbath. Now, they declare that in the name of defense, we cannot keep the Sabbath, let us continue fighting. Okay? After all, the temple was already desecrated. They cannot do much, but they want to get back what belongs to them. Now, this happened for how many days? 2,300 and something days, right? 2,300 days, which is 6 1/3 years. From 168 to 161 BC. Alright? And they attacked Jerusalem. Then they came out, they attacked, the Hellenized Jews and pagan had to flee. The attack on Jerusalem was possible because Antiochus had to deal with the Parthian from the northwest. You know what a Parthian is? Remember that Greece extended all the way to India? Parthian is always in that direction, northwestward. Alright? Because they were uprising. I told you they were uprising, you know, from different people of the different empire or provinces at that time. They still will want to struggle for their independence also. So because of that, Antiochus went and deal with that. But that's how the Hasmonean was able to gain back the city of Jerusalem. So the temple was cleansed. They rejoiced for 8 days. And that we call, what we have today is Hanukkah. Okay? That's what we have for 8 days, the Hanukkah celebration. The Syrian army led by Lysias came, and Judah and his men went out to fight them. Elephants were now used. Yeah, elephant, remember? There was a barbarian, I can't remember, called Hannibal. You know, he crossed the Alps. You heard know the history. I can't remember where he is from. Hannibal, from which empire, I also don't know. He crossed the Alps with the elephant. So now they used the elephant to fight. So what happened? Judah and his men went out to fight. The elephant were used. Judah died under the weight of one that he thrust his belly. He actually, you know, rushed forward through all these fighting men and went to the on that elephant. Because the elephant, you know, he's so big. In storm and just swing around. People, you cannot fight an elephant. The man who's sitting up there on the leading elephant, you can never touch him. So he went and took the sword and thrust into the belly of the elephant. Elephant died crushing on him. No, elephant is big. Okay, that's like fighting an armored tank with what? With a merely pistol or something like that. Huh? And Lysias hatched a plan. He promised if the Jews lay down their arms, They were in Jerusalem. When this army came, Judah went out and his men went out. But those that were still in the city, Lysias hatched a plan and promised the Jews to lay down their arms. They would not be punished, he said. Judah did not believe. Okay? But the council left the city with their followers. They were put to death. Now this was before the fight. Judah was left with a small band now. Okay? Oh, I'm sorry. I think there was another Judah here. I got this all mixed up here. Bani Mani was there was a brother, I think, down here. And there was this other, and only about, no, there was a Judah actually. Okay? I think this one, he died later in the fight. I should not have put here. Anyway, they crossed the river Jordan and took refuge in the hill. They were not easily destroyed as they terrorized the enemies, the Hellenized Jews and the Russian armies. But in 149 BC, the Seleucid restored autonomy to Judea. Several more years later, two political parties appeared, the Pharisees and the Sadducees party. Of course, the scripture was the Creeds. Now, Pharisees and Sadducees were actually not religious group. They were political. But then removed themselves, they used the Bible, they used the scriptures, and then became, of course, later on, they built their own system, like what we have today, you see, the Catholic Church. It moved in to control the seat and merged politics and religion together. Do you see that? Okay? Alright, so now, in closing on this, we leave chapter 9 and chapter 12 to next week, because in chapter 12, actually, what was told to Daniel, well, we must have to do it for the next 5 minutes. Alright, now, here in verse 1, at that time Michael shall stand up and great prince will stand for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and lasting contempt. That when Christ comes, the gospel will preach those that have religiously, spiritually revived, alright, heard the voice of God, alright, awake from their slumbering, they have eternal life. And also point towards the future when they will be coming out of for the great judgment. And there shall be white shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and there that turn many to righteousness as the star forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others, and the one on this side of the bank of the river, the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man in the linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the time, to the end of this wonder? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that live forever, that there shall be for the time and half a time. That's 3.5 years. And then when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of this thing? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are sealed up, and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified, and many white and tried, make white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination to make a desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. That is 1,290 days. Blessed is he that will and come to the 1,335 days. That is 1,335 days. And go thou thy way to the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy Lord at the end of the days. So here's a composite prophecy. Alright, these days, a number of days, are already in some way history. Okay, because of so much wars and all this war, if you go into the internet to figure out when was it marking and marking. Alright, but the thing is that here we see it's thrown over into the end. Well, we see the 1,290 day into the future after the Great Tribulation. And 1,335 days after Christ cleansed the temple and set and judged the world. You see. So because it is all parallel and a dual prophecy, or we would say compacted into one, and showed two types of prophecy, which was near future ahead of Daniel, and which was far into the future, which especially deal with the nondescript beast. Alright? We are in here, and we'll just continue on the 17th week of Daniel next week. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. Asking for your grace again, Lord, to help us to enjoy your precious word of life and to what you will show us in history, Father, of things to come. We pray, Lord Jesus, that all this that again we learn may be of strength to us, Father, and that we will meditate like Daniel upon the things that are coming upon this world. And that we will continue to seek for your strength, Lord, to help us to continue to walk in this highway of glory until we see Christ face to face. We bless your holy name now, Father, and just commit all things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.